You're worthy, Lamb of God. You're worthy, Lord. Worthy to receive all praise and all honor and glory. We worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mighty King, Master of everything, Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, once again, we now surrender this time, Lord, as we sit at your feet, Lord. We honor your word this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your direction, your correction, for building us up, edifying us, comforting us and exhorting us this morning, Lord, for changing our lives, causing us to grow one more step in you, Lord, to come higher one more step in you, Lord. Father, hide me behind the cross. Use me as your oracle. Touch my mouth and my tongue with a coal from off the altar of God. And Lord, may your word go forth in power. And thank you, Lord, in advance that it accomplishes what it's sent to do and does not return void. It brings change in everyone's life. And that's what we covet, Lord, what we look for. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This slightly snowy day, cold day. Hallelujah. It's good to see Dave and all of his kids. We've missed y'all. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if we will, to Philippians 4:19. This is going to be a kind of a little two-part message, all in one sitting. Did y'all get that? Didn't confuse you? Praise the Lord. The Bible says confusion's of the devil. I've been accused of being that by Stan. How many remember when we went to Papado's? And Connie liked the food so much she got hooked, and so I was accused of being the enemy, being the devil. Beguiled his wife to want to go to Papado's all the time. If you've never been, it's good food. Not something you want to eat every day, but it's really good food. It's Cajun food. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:19. You know, one of the things that faces many of us today, thank God for the ones who have jobs, that God's blessing, and thank God right now for the ones, for the jobs that God has for those who do not have jobs. Amen? Hallelujah. We thank him in advance. We're going to call those things that are not as though they already are. Did you hear me? We need to start proclaiming now. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about the words of our mouth, how we set the course of our destiny and our walk with God in our life by the things we say. I recently heard somebody say, well, I'll tell you, something to the effect of, I have a hard time remembering, or, boy, I'll never remember that. And I thought, God, why are we like that? Why do we say those things? We dwell on the negative, and then we sit back and wonder why things are short in our mind, you know, like short memories, or why we don't ever have enough funds, or why things, you know, it's like, you know, I'll just use Gertrude and Heathcliff. Gertrude says, well, it's flu season. And Heathcliff says, well, I'll be the first one to get the flu, and then he gets it, and then he can't understand why. It's because you spoke it into existence. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning, we're gonna call those things which have not been in our lives as though they already are. Amen? Hallelujah. And one of the things we're going to talk about, part of this message, is God's the one who supplies our need. Amen? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall, there's no ambiguity there, supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, he didn't say all of your wants right here, although he blesses us with many things and gives us the desires of our heart, but he says all of your need. What are your needs? Have a roof over your head? Have the light bill paid? Water? Amen? A warm bed? Food? Those are what we need. Everything else is just a blessing on top of that. Amen? Hallelujah. That word supply means to make full, but my God shall make you full. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you to the full. He'll make you abound. He'll render you full. He'll render you complete. You'll have nothing wanting to the full measure. And he'll fill you to the top and render you perfect. That's what the word supply means. Hallelujah. And the word glory, this comes from Merriam-Webster. It says, great beauty and splendor. In other words, he'll meet your needs. He'll supply your needs, you know, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that word glory there means great and beautiful splendor. According to his great and beautiful splendor. Amen? Hallelujah. Good news. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be a short message, folks. But if you're hearing in the Spirit, your eyes are ready to hear and your ears are ready to receive and ready to hear, eyes are ready to see and your ears are ready to hear, then you're going to get something out of this. Okay? Matthew chapter 6 is a good chapter, but we're going to deal with, again, verse 25 through 34. Verses 25 through 34. And in the New King James Bible, there's a caption there that says, do not worry. You know, it's easy when you don't have things to panic and say, oh no, what are we going to do now? I mean, know what I'm talking about. Yes, amen. But God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Therefore, I say to you in verse 25, do not worry about your life. Can I ask you a question? A gentleman who used to come to this church said this many years ago, and it stuck with me. I've never forgotten it. If you're going to worry, why are you praying? And if you're going to pray, why are you worrying? I'll let you think about that for a little bit. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, there are people out there who exalt these things and who live for just those things. But I can tell you, as a believer in God, life is so much more. Life in God is so much more. Waking up knowing that you're blessed of God, knowing that his presence is with you, knowing that you have the ability to be what God needs you to be and to minister to people's lives and see them change and come into the same mindset and be set free the way you and I are set free. Amen? Hallelujah. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? There's the question. If you then, being evil, know how to good, or excuse me, let me go on. Or if he asks in verse 10 for a fish, will he give him a serpent or a snake? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What are we seeing here? The key is the asking. But along with that, faith has to be tied to that. Faith is what justifies you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you have to tie faith with the asking. You can't say, Lord, give me a loaf of bread, and then hope it's going to happen. You have to be confident and know that what he says, he will do. And what you ask, he will perform. Are y'all still with me? Verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's a law of God. You give, you receive. Amen? Praise the Lord. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate. Where am I at? I'm in chapter 7. I'm reading the wrong place now. Okay. I'm sorry, I have gotten completely in the wrong place. Let's go back to verse 25. It says, food, the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. Y'all weren't paying attention, were you? See, I got off track and y'all didn't tell me until I realized myself that I was in the wrong place. Anyway, verse 26. Moving right along. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow... Well, anyway, you got that for free. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you, which one of us, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? You're worried about your height? Is your worrying going to do anything for you? Don't all answer at once. So why do you worry? God's asking the question. Jesus is speaking. This is red letters. It means Jesus is speaking. So why do you worry about clothing? We won't go into that. I have an answer for that, but I won't say it here. You all wouldn't like me if I didn't have clothes. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. You know, I wouldn't like me. Never mind. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, in other words, you see it today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or burned up, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, here's Jesus telling us, don't worry, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Gentiles in this scripture means unbelievers. Okay? Are y'all with me? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Now here is the main key, folks. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Amen? Hallelujah. God takes care of his own. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, in verse 19 of Philippians 4, we read that he'll supply all of our need, make us complete, to render us perfect. So, I mean, it just goes to show that what we need, he knows. Amen? And he is your Jehovah Jireh, as we sang this morning, your provider. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus. So we're not supposed to be anxious. You know, first thing that happens when something happens in our lives, where all of a sudden what we would consider norm or we take for granted changes, there's panic, there's anxiousness. What am I going to do? What are we going to do now? How are we going to work this out? You know, I'm reminded of the little widow and her son. Down to their last little batch of oil or flask of oil and the last little meal. And their plan was to make that cake and then die of starvation. But the disciples came. And she made that cake and gave to them. And because she honored God and because she didn't fret or didn't speak out the negative at that moment, she did for a moment, but when she saw the need, she met that need. And because she did, that flask never went dry and the meal never was gone. It's the same thing that God did what Jesus did when he blessed the loaves and the fishes. He didn't just feed 5,000. That was just the men. It was 25,000 people. That's men, women, and children. Glory to God. He knows what you have need of before you ask. even before you ask. Hallelujah. Are we good on that part? Now, the key here is our faith and what we do with that knowledge. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Not in your own sufficiency, not in your own ability, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So he says, "Finally, brethren, be endued with strength. Be strengthened. Receive strength. Be bold. Be headstrong." That literally means be bold and be headstrong. My God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. There's no other option. Are you that bold? Are you that tenacious? There's no other option. How many of you, like so many, have a plan B? We're only talking about what your life depends on. Did you get that? We're talking about your life depending on what you do and how you act and how you walk in the Word. Your life depends on it. What do I mean by that? I mean the blessings or the problems are going to be dependent on where you stand and whether you believe the Word of God and you walk in it and you operate in faith, or you operate in your own understanding, or you got your plan B. There's three wills of God. There's the acceptable will of God, there's a permissive will of God, and there's the perfect will of God. How many want to be in the perfect will of God? Amen. If you don't, we'll pray for you. The word Lord there means, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord." That word means be strong in the Master, the one who has control. And what happens if He's in control? You're never out of control. Amen? Hallelujah. And in the power, or the might, or the one with mighty, with great power, or dominion. Be strong in the Lord, and the one who has dominion, in the dominion that He has, of His might. And that means His ability, His force, His strength, and His might. Be strong in those things. Amen? Do you believe Him when He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? Do you believe Him when He says, "Nothing will, or no one will be able to take you out of my hand"? Do you believe Him when He says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper"? That means poverty, neglect, starving, you know, lack of food, lack of money. Those are weapons the enemy uses to try to bring us down, to try to pull our attention away from the Word and walking in the truth that God has. Praise the Lord. I would encourage you all to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. If I'm not mistaken, I believe there's 68 verses. And the first 14 verses are talking about the blessings that you have. We're not going to read that this morning, but I am, however, going to close by telling you about Deuteronomy 28:13. And the last 54 verses of Deuteronomy 28 talk about the curses. How many have experienced some of those when you weren't walking with God? Read it. If you know what I'm talking about, read it and see what I say, what it says. God promises in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, that if you'll do what He says, if you'll observe to do all that He says, if you'll be obedient. How many know it's better to be willing and obedient? If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll have provision. Amen. Another way of saying it. Well, that's what it says. In verse 13, it says, "And the Lord, if you'll do those things, if you'll observe to do all that He says," like Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You'll observe to do all that's written in, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How? By meditating on the Word, by walking in the Word, by living the Word, walking it out. Here's what Deuteronomy 28:13 says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed," here's the key, "if you heed the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them." Careful to observe them. So in other words, it's not just speaking it out of your mouth and then sitting back hoping. I remember the song that says, if you think you can make it by going to church, you're just kidding yourself. Think you can make it by doing good works, you're just kidding yourself. It takes obedience. It takes living and walking in the Word. He said to try Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Y'all wouldn't be here if you hadn't already tried that, right? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. The word Lord in Deuteronomy 28:13 means Jehovah Yahweh, the existing one. Make you is to put, to set, bestow, or to employ, or consecrate, or put on. Head in that verse means the chief or the height used of stars. He places you above the stars. And another word for stars in the Bible is angels. Stars of heaven. The tail in that means the end or the stump. You'll be the head. You won't be the stump. You'll be the chief, the height or the highest, not a stump. Above means on top, the higher part, on higher ground. You'll be above only and not beneath. That means downward or under. Where's the enemy? Under our feet. Amen. Then it says, if you diligently hearken, which means to listen, to obey, and regard. Regard what? The word. The truth of the word. And to walk in it. And the word observe means to keep, to protect, to refrain, to be on guard. But with all these calamities to come, or these testings or trials, whatever you want to call them, Romans 8:37 says, even in all those things, or yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And more than conquerors means, yet in all these things, we gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. In all these things, in all the things that try to attack us, in all the things that come to try to steal our faith, to try to shake us off the path, we gain a surpassing victory. Jesus paid the price. It's all His. Everything in heaven and earth, all the wealth of the world is laid up for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And God commands the wicked to gather it and bring it and give it to the ones who please Him, His own kids, His heirs. Amen? Ecclesiastes 2:26. Don't know what I'm talking about. Look at Ecclesiastes 2:26. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, unfortunately, in this time and season, so many people, they look at what they don't have or what they wish they had, instead of looking at the many, many blessings, the mighty blessings, the eternal blessings which they do have. Y'all are here this morning. The most important thing is life. If you were dead, you wouldn't have any worries left, would you? Amen? But God promises in your life to bless you. Not just to bless you, but to cause the blessings to overtake you. Amen? Be strong in the power in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. Don't get underneath a load of care. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. And He knows what you have need of. Remember, seeking Him first is the key. God's not going to deny you. He's not denied you yet. Amen? Hallelujah. word says, in everything, give thanks. Say, Bill, but am I supposed to give thanks when I'm lacking in some area or when things aren't going right? Yes. Don't thank Him for the lack, but thank Him that He is the answer. Thank Him that He is the one who supplies all of your need. You know, in this world, one of the things that we deem a success is how much we're able to do in ourselves. You know? That's why people work themselves half to death. Some people become so obsessed with work that they neglect their families. There's people in the ministry who do that. So busy taking care of the sheep, they forget their own family. And the Scripture says, if you don't provide for those, especially those of your own house, you have denied the faith and you have become worse than an unbeliever. So why would God tell us that and then not take care of us? Aren't we a part of His house? Haven't we been grafted in? Aren't we heirs and sons of God? Joint heirs with Christ Jesus? Aren't we seated at the right hand of God the Father? Under the headship of Jesus? And do you think there's any lack there? Amen. None. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe. Doesn't mean you take care, but you make sure that you observe everything that He tells you, all the commands. Amen? Hallelujah. So you should be rejoicing. God hasn't forsaken you. He knows what the need you have is. But remember, you've got to start speaking things out of your mouth. You've got to say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. You've got to trust God and say, thank you, Lord, that you're the one who meets my need. I thank you that I have abundance, that my storehouse is full, that my checkbook is full, that I have a good memory, that I have good health. Don't lie against the truth, but call those things which be not as though they are. The one of those things are things that are looking you in the face, and start confessing what God says. And watch the course of your life change. Remember, where you are today is directly a result of what you said yesterday. And where you will be tomorrow is directly affected by what you say today. You start speaking like a blessed person, you're going to be a blessed person in all your ways. Amen? Hallelujah. Not a long message, but it's got some good information in it. Praise the Lord. I was on my way in with Gene here, I don't know if it was last Sunday, Wednesday, or today. I think it was Wednesday. And one of the things happens, I started to say something out of my mouth, and I caught myself. And immediately I said, Gene caught that. She heard me. I said, Father, forgive me. That was wrong. And I immediately repented. I said the right thing. And it was something that, it seemingly meaningless and trivial, but it wasn't trivial. Your words have power. And when you put actions and words together, look out, honey, you're going someplace. You're getting ready to go and happen someplace or happen in somebody's life. While you're ministering to other people, remember, God is cognizant of everything you need, everything that you should have, so that you can have a rich, abundant life now. Not just in the hereafter, but right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Hope you weren't overwhelmed by this message. I'm teasing you. Praise the Lord. But good message. Telling us, not to be anxious, but with everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's the part we miss. We make our wishes known, or we pray, but we don't give Him thanks. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. And what that says right there is you've already said, you know, one of the keys that I learned years ago is when the prayer of faith has been prayed, there's nothing more to say except you come in agreement with it. And how do you do that? When you come in agreement with that means you thank you, Lord, it's done. Thank you, Lord, I have it. While I was in the hospital, I told you, I said, all I did was lay there and say, thank you, Lord, this mountain is cast in the sea. Let me tell you something. From where I was laying, it was a mountain. It was a mountain. I had never been that confined in my life. And it didn't feel fun. It wasn't fun. Except for the fact that God was working on me all the time. Proverbs, he says, trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you do, trust, you know, exalt him, and he will what? Direct your path. And then what does he say? And a righteous man, one who does those things is called righteous. And a righteous man's steps are what? Ordered by the Lord. In other words, move to the right, move to the left, straight ahead. Amen? Hallelujah. And he'll guide you right into the blessing. Amen? We talked about Wednesday night, even when somebody tries to steal from you. I don't know about y'all, 7 times is better than 1 time. 7 times $3,000 or $7,000 is, now that's a pretty good chunk of change. God says he'll restore. That'll be restored. See, he enforces that. Do you know that? That didn't just happen. When you go to God and you do the right thing and you thank him, even in this, not for the fact that you were stolen from, not for the fact that you're having a problem or an adversity, but you thank him that he's your Lord, he's your Savior. Through that, then God puts into action and enforces that fact that you are not to suffer loss. He's the one who makes it so that restoration comes. Missed a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you're lacking in any of these things, if you haven't quite gotten a hold of it yet, I invite you to come. Let us pray with you. It's not a put down. And I'm not ashamed. I want to be transparent. I'm not sufficient in myself, but he is sufficient. I serve the all-sufficient one. Amen? Hallelujah. And I want to be transparent. I want to be accountable. That's why, hopefully, to everybody, my life is an open book. What you see is what you get. And I'm not ashamed. I'm learning and growing just like you guys are. But that's what it takes. It takes the openness and honesty. Don't be ashamed of where you're at. Stand up and say, thank God this is where I'm at, but this is not where I'm going and not where I'm staying. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. He will bring it to pass in your life. Amen. So if you need prayer, come and get prayer. You need us to agree with you. If these things are not operating in your life, or you've been struggling with this in this area, today is the day to get free. Today is the day to get free. Hallelujah. Anything we need to pray about? Makes you realize it doesn't make any, when you're in these institutions, no matter which ones they are, you're not safe. The only way you're safe is if you know the Lord. Amen? Something like that is just exactly what the enemy comes to do, to steal and kill and destroy. And fear is the weapon that's, and that's the weapon he uses. He brings fear. And the only reason fear can come and stand in a situation like that is because the person does not know the Lord. I mean, it's a terrible thing. I mean, you know, folks, the enemy's out there. His demons are out there. In that place, as well as prisons, demons run wild because every form of ungodliness is there. It's right there. These spirits are carried. People like our brother Dave, who've gotten out of that, and who God's lifted up, raised up, changed his life. Praise the Lord for those people. You know, as I told y'all, I spent 12 years evangelizing in the prison ministry in prison, Colorado. Going inside the walls and ministering to people, baptizing these prisoners. And God does some tremendous things there. But we need to lift them up in prayer. Because there are spirits. There are evil spirits there. But we have authority over those. And God protects those that are His. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Dave. Bringing him back to his family. Amen? So that fear tells me that she doesn't know the Lord. She has no hope. When things like that happen and you're separated and you don't have the Lord, where do you turn? You just get deeper into, if you will, instability mentally and everything, because you have no hope. We talked about last Sunday, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. Okay, enough about the calamity. My God says He turns all things to good. What was meant for our harm to good. Amen? The enemy wants her. It's obvious he wants her. And he thinks he's got her right where he wants her. But we have something to say about that. Amen? Let's get in agreement. Put your hand, raise your hands towards her. Karen and Bob. Father, in Jesus' name, that sneaky snake is out there walking around roaring like he is not, but he's like a roaring lion. He's a toothless loudmouth. He has no power except in our mind. And he tries to bring fear, and he uses fear very effectively. But in this case, Lord, we say that we come against that in the name of Jesus. We now send the Word of God. We send your Word, Lord. You are the Word. We send you by the Holy Spirit to that room. And Lord, even though others may be shut out, the Holy Spirit and you are not shut out. You are omnipresent. You are omniscient. You are omnipotent. And Lord, you're there right now. We thank you, Lord, for that. Bringing peace. Revealing yourself to her. Revealing yourself to her. Thank you, Lord. We pray for her salvation. We pay for the comfort that comes from knowing that you paid the price for everything. For her wrongdoing and for the person who did the wrong. Lord, we pray for that person's salvation too. We come against the spirits that would try to overwhelm her and that bring that fear, that spirit of torment, that spirit of fear. We come against it in the name of Jesus and say, return to the one who sent you, which is your Father, the devil, your leader, the enemy of our souls, the enemy of God. And we say now that she's under the protection of God. And now you've set your angels round about her to keep her in all her ways so that she won't in the future even stumble or stagger or stub her toe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the people who come to her will be people who can minister life and light into the situation that looks so black and so bleak. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. And Father, right now, we corporately give you praise, honor, glory, and thanksgiving for the outcome of this. We will believe no other report. We thank you, Lord, for setting her free. Whatever that looks like to you, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And Lord, we know whatever the outcome, she will be free. In Jesus' name. All the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything else? I'm hearing stories from a lot of you of restoration, of reconciliation in your relationships, in your families. And that blesses my heart. That's what it's all about. I pray and I trust God that the words that I speak to you and the things that I share with you, you know, I couldn't handle it if it didn't minister life, if I didn't see a change. Hear what I'm saying. You know what's in my heart. I'd just as soon not be here if I wasn't being effective. You know, years ago when God blessed me with the ability to sing, I used to try, but I was scared. I was timid. I was embarrassed. Didn't think I had anything to offer. And one day, through a set of circumstances, God opened the door. And I went in, and much to the surprise of people who knew me and myself, I began to sing and tried out for doing specials at church. And wouldn't you know, the first person they called on was me. You talk about scared, honey. I got a friend who talked about that one time. He got a little frightened. He said, man, I was fitting to get in the wind. That's just the way he put it. Fitting to get in the wind. And I'm telling you, my knees were knocking. My teeth were chattering. We're not talking just figuratively. We're talking literally. Oh, my gosh. Pastor's wife sitting in the front row. And because I released myself to God, God gave me the ability. And I said at that time, I will never, ever sing another note if I don't see people ministered to, if I don't see people touched, if I can't touch the lives of people and see God's power and ability and presence change their life. And I feel the same way about the ministry. I'd just soon not be here. I'd just soon be sitting out there. But I'm blessed in doing what I'm doing. And you all are encouragement to me. Amen. We've seen powerful things happen because of our prayers. Isn't that right, Bob? God answers our prayers. Individually and corporately. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. See, now Jeremiah 29:11 is effective in her life. It was there before, but now she'll know, she'll understand that his thoughts for her are for good, not for evil. To prosper her and not to harm her. And to now give her a hope and a future. She can hope in God. Thank you, Lord. I am so excited. Not only her, but the people around her are going to get a touch from God. They're going to meet the real God, the real Jesus. He's going to be real. Not just something figurative or talked about, but something real, something tangible in her life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We give you praise. We give you honor. And right now, we place you at the highest place, saints. In everything we do, you're the one we consider first, Lord. If it's not so, Lord, then make us willing to be made willing to make it so. Work in us. Continue, Lord, as you promised, to work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And you promised no good thing would you withhold from us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're prosperous and we're in health. And that is because our souls are prospering, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Now, Lord, seal your word in the hearts of every individual here. Thank you for your direction and correction this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you demonstrate your care and your unfailing love by being in our midst and being with us as you promised. We know you're here, Lord. We sense your presence. We see it. We feel it. We've experienced it in our lives. And we're not done yet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now go with your people. Bless them. Bless our time of fellowship this morning. Sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord, by your word and this prayer. In Jesus' name. Your people are blessed. They're strong in you and in the power of your might. And they walk in the fullness. We walk in the fullness of God. In the fullness of who you are. In Jesus' name. Thank you for full manifestations of healing where we've prayed for healing. In your touch, Lord. Again, in the character and the power of the name of Jesus, we say, amen.